And now on Nights with Steve Price, the Europe Report with Hugh Whitfeld from 7 News.
Yes, indeed. Hugh joined us on the line from London, and you've caught up with the Pauline Hanson burqa stunt. We've been talking about that on air for much of the day and during the program tonight. Hugh, has it had any coverage in the UK?
Yeah, woke up to that this morning here in Britain. Certainly, a lot of the newspapers running with it this morning. It's running fairly high up in the world news section of most of them. Of course, burqas and religious headwear have been a topical issue, not so much in Britain, but certainly on the continent for a couple of years now. Certainly, as we saw that wave of refugees and migrants come through in 2015, but certainly before that in places like France. We know that Austria is banning the burqa from October 1st. There's going to be about a $200 fine for people, women, wearing a burqa. The government there saying it'll help people, new arrivees to the country, integrate. The right wing of the parliament saying it doesn't go far enough. The left wing saying it's too draconian. Germany has discussed similar plans in the past, although they are yet to become law. Of course, there's been local bans in France for full facial headwear as well. So it has been a debate that has gone on and on. I've got to say, in Britain, it's not a debate that I've really come across here. I reckon I can probably count on one hand the amount of times that I've seen a full facial burqa on the streets of London.
Really? Yeah. I would have thought it would have been much more common than that. I mean, maybe it's the parts of London I've visited when I've been there, or maybe it's not as prominent now. But in the times I've been there, I sort of felt that I saw it a lot, but maybe I'm just, my memory's going on me.
I think the full face, one hand, I think. Less than that, absolutely, every day. Some form of dress, even in my street where I live in North London. That's not unusual, but the full face, completely, like the one that Pauline Hanson was wearing, completely, I reckon maybe five or six times. Obviously, there is a much more higher concentrated percentage of Muslim population in cities like Birmingham, where you're probably more likely to see that, but it's not banned here, and the debate doesn't happen so much. But of course, this country's been caught up in a lot of other debates, like Brexit, for a while.
Yeah, look, I don't think it won't be banned here, no matter what Pauline Hanson did today. And you know, I'm not a fan of those sorts of stunts in Parliament. I don't know that she is going to achieve all that much. I'm not as heavily critical of her as others. She wanted to make her point, and she did. She'll get the debate going, but the debate will go nowhere, Hugh. It just won't happen here. You and I spoke night before last about, very nostalgically, about not hearing the chimes of Big Ben when I'm there in October, and in fact, it's not going to be heard for quite some time. There's been a bit of a change on that.
Well, at this stage, it's going to stop on Monday, but the Prime Minister returned back from holiday not to talk about Brexit. She gave a few lines on Donald Trump, but the big thing that she was asked about down in Southampton yesterday, launching the Queen Elizabeth ship, was what to do about Big Ben. Now, at this stage, the Prime Minister and the Commons Speaker, John Bercow, have asked parliamentary officials to review the situation. Now, there's a couple of ideas, and we kind of discussed this the other day, about whether they would play a recording or play the bells say when the workers aren't working, between 5 p.m. and 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. The Parliament has rejected those. One of the reasons they say is that it's going to take too long to reconnect all the chimes up once the workers leave the tower. So there's actually no solution if they want the bells to keep playing and Parliament says they're too loud for the workers in the tower. But there is going to be a review. It's going to go through some parliamentary committees. The Prime Minister seemingly heard a lot of the disquiet that there was about this plan to silence Big Ben for 4 years, which is a long time, and there's going to be some sort of review. But at this stage, they will fall silent noon next Monday, and I can guarantee you there will be quite a crowd. I've been speaking with parliamentary authorities down there this week, organising our coverage of it, and there's a fair bit of interest from right around the world.
You get a sense that Therese May was on holidays and people were coming up to her and saying, Prime Minister, you're not going to let Big Ben go silent for 4 years. And her colleagues going, why is it going to take 4 years? I mean, in 4 years, they could build 100 Big Bens in China, get it fixed quicker.
There probably is 100 Big Bens in China.
It
does seem as though that MPs certainly were caught off guard with this, that they didn't know that this announcement was going to be made, because the parliamentary estate is in the hands of the parliamentary authority and the Speaker, and that wasn't communicated through to MPs. And obviously, when they hear about it, they're out in the cafes during summer listening, and in the pubs listening to people who are not happy about it. It doesn't pass the pub test, to use the Australian acronym. So, it is an issue.
Another arrest in the very strange case of the busty British model Chloe Ayling.
Yes, so this is actually the arrest of the brother of Lucas Herber, who was initially arrested in Italy when Chloe was handed in to authorities. Now, this man has been arrested in the last 24 hours at his home in the British Midlands. He is the brother of Lucas Herber, and he has been arrested on the advice of Italian authorities. Now, he is due to face court here in London later on today. It's likely that they'll request his extradition to Italy. Unclear at this stage what exactly he would be facing in terms of charges, but certainly the Italian authorities are keen to talk to him about what he knew about Lucas Herber's involvement in all of this. It's also unclear whether he is the second person who Chloe says kidnapped her, but her story is... You know, there's a lot of doubts, even from ourselves. We were doubting this 2 or 3 weeks ago. I would say that there are still some doubts about the veracity of what happened during her experience, but Italian police are not letting this go, and they are following up every lead.
Yeah, it's one of the weirdest stories, and I think we still don't know the full guts of that. Thank you very much for your help this week, Hugh. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Good on you, Steve.
Hugh Whitfeld, Seven's Bureau Chief in London.